Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a loaded, jam-packed Tuesday live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio. And right here on FS1, 1 hour from now, the Herd hierarchy, rich, packed with flavor. 10 playoff teams. What do I do with Brady and the Bucks? They looked awful against Chicago. What do I do with Seattle? Worst defense of all time, statistically. Joy Taylor is joining me. It appears, Joy, we talk about this all the time. All the quarterbacks are getting better. We appear to have another new star at quarterback.
Didn't see it coming, but he has arrived.
He is really good, folks. I don't want to hear about Michael Thomas wasn't there for Drew Brees. Stop. Okay. Justin Herbert's a rookie. Okay, he didn't have his starting right tackle, his starting right guard, his starting running back, and his best receiver, Keenan Allen, got hurt end of the first quarter. And he went on the road against Drew Brees and was a better quarterback, and it wasn't close. Passer rating, the kid, without two of his offensive linemen, and the Saints have one of the best pass rushes in the NFL, 123 passer rating. 4 touchdowns, no picks. You can do so much more with Justin Herbert than you can do with Drew Brees. They move the pocket out. He's got a rocket arm. You can throw it deep, short. It doesn't matter. The question now is, will the Chargers screw it up? That's the question now. Because where you land matters in the NFL. Sam Darnold, punctured by his team. Josh Allen, you'll watch tonight, elevated by his. Look how long it's taken Baker Mayfield to finally get a grown-up as a head coach. Oh, Baker looks pretty good. Where you land matters. And the Chargers have a good GM and a lot of talent. But what a shock. Last night, the coaching wasn't good, and the special teams lost the game. This kid has led in the last 3-4 weeks. He's led Mahomes. He's led Brees. He's led Brady in the fourth quarter. And they can't make a kick, or they go conservative with play calling. This kid's a rock star. But this organization historically has gone cheap. Is Anthony Lynn the coach? Well, let's look in his own division. In order to win this division, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. Can Anthony Lynn outduel them? Forget Belichick in the AFC. Forget John Harbaugh in the AFC. Forget Mike Tomlin. Forget Sean McDermott. Forget Mike Vrabel. Is he as good, as daring as John Gruden? Is he schematically clever like Andy Reid? All I know is this. Justin Herbert is wow. The only two quarterbacks in the league that have this talent, this size, this arm, this escapability, the two of them are Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. And Patrick Mahomes got a year to sit behind Alex Smith. Josh Allen was awful his first year and a half in the league. This kid is great now. Will the Chargers screw it up? Is Anthony Lynn right? Is Anthony Lynn good enough? He wasn't last night. And if they decide he's not, will Dean Spanos, the owner, go out and pay $10 million for Lincoln Riley or $10 million for Urban Meyer, not some retread coach like the Cowboys did? Will you go out and spend big boy money to get a John Harbaugh, to go get a rock star head coach? Because we know in this league, if you give Lamar Jackson John Harbaugh, we know how it turns out. Really good. And if you give Josh Allen a Sean McDermott, excellent young coach. We know how it turns out. You'll watch tonight. Really good. We know that if Mike Vrabel gets his hands on Ryan Tannehill, what happens? Average quarterback, then better than average. Because I'm watching Justin. I have questions about this staff. They watched all these practices. They watched all this game tape. And it wasn't until last week the Chargers went, yeah, we think Justin Herbert's better. What are you watching? I mean, there are things in life that are subtle and nuanced. Justin Herbert has a massive arm, is huge. This kid, everybody nitpicked him at Oregon. So I watch a lot of Oregon football games because I used to work in Portland. So they have an offensive line coach as a head coach. Very conservative, and they don't have great weapons like Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, LSU. It's Oregon. They don't have 5-star wide receivers, right? And so Justin Herbert, it was a very conservative offense. And at the end of the year, Joy was here, they decided at the end of the year in the Rose Bowl, we got no games left for Justin Herbert. Go for it. And did you watch him against Wisconsin? Wisconsin had a great defense. They couldn't stop Justin Herbert. It doesn't take much. This kid was a Dean's List student in college, and he majored in biology. It wasn't like a lot of athletes who, you know, you find the major that kind of works for your ability to not, like, go, you know, go to practice and stuff. He majored in biology. He was a Dean's Lister. We've had people of this network who have covered Oregon, interviewed him. They're like, oh, kid blows you away, the wisdom for like a 21-year-old kid. But I wonder about this. Can the Chargers elevate him? Because last night, I mean, when they doinked that field goal, you were all watching that game saying the same thing. Gosh, the Chargers. When they went conservative with their play calling, you were all saying the same thing. Oh, it's the Chargers. So the pressure is not on Justin Herbert. It's been he's played four games. First game, again, 5-minute heads up, you're playing against Patrick Mahomes. I don't know, a little intimidating. Can you imagine 5 minutes you're fighting Mike Tyson? 5 minutes you have to face Messi. 5 minutes, Patrick Mahomes. A little nervous. He outplayed him for the first half of that game. He outplayed Tom Brady first half of that game. He outplayed Drew Brees last night. Are the Chargers good at the pressure's not on Herbert? It's on the organization. Because the organization has a history of being cheap, screwing up special teams, and in they got players. Don't kid yourself. It's not woe is me. Justin Herbert's got real receivers. I mean, this is a real football team with real players. But four games. The first one, a touchdown, a pick. Second one, a touchdown, a pick. Third one, three touchdowns, a pick. Last night, four touchdowns, no picks. Cameron Hayward of the Saints, great player on a great defensive line, said, uh-oh, watch out, this kid's special.
He's a baller. Young kid out there taking a lot of hits today. I think our D-line, our front seven got after him pretty well. You know, he made a lot of great plays down the stretch. And that's something, you know, that he may be a force to be reckoned with for the years to come. He's showing some huge potential.
Cameron Jordan, my bad. All right, let's shift to this. Yesterday I said something to Joy during the show. And I wasn't trying to be a hot take, but I watched Matt Ryan this weekend, and I'm watching the NFL in 2020. And I'm like, Atlanta fired everybody. They fired their GM, they fired the coach, and I'm like, I think I'd move off Matt Ryan in 1 year. Cap space, you gotta keep him this year and next year. But if I could draft a Trevor Lawrence, if Atlanta keeps losing, if I could draft a Justin Fields, I'd draft him. Very interesting. The owner of the Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Blank, said, we're not quite sure what we're going to do at the quarterback situation with Matt Ryan.
Matt has the ability to play at a very high level, even at this age. Whether that's going to continue or not, I'm not sure. I appreciate his willingness to consider doing that and the level of what he's played for us for 13 years, which has been incredible. So I will have to see. But then again, that's going to be a decision at the end of the day that'll be part of it be up to the player and part of it be up to the coaching staff and whether or not, you know, Matt can keep himself together. And I hope he's going to be part of our plans going forward, but that'll be a decision that I won't make.
Not exactly a vote of confidence. Matt Ryan's not bad. We all know that. Matt Ryan's not special and dynamic. We all know that. He's Kirk Cousins with an MVP. Would you move off Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins gets talked about a lot because Kirk Cousins wins and got that initial big contract. But Kirk Cousins is actually more mobile than Matt Ryan. You can roll the pocket out with him. Kirk Cousins actually throws a better deep ball than Matt Ryan. What do you do with Matt Ryan? I watched Matt Ryan this past weekend. When everything's set up for success, it can be nice. It's sort of like, you know, like marriages. Everybody gets along on the honeymoon. The kids are at camp for the summer, no in-laws around, and the money's rolling in. But how's the marriage when the money's tight, in-laws are in town, kids are melting down? That's a real marriage. That's what all of us go through. Matt Ryan is great when everything's set up for him, but it's 2020. Nothing's set up for anybody. Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. Those guys make plays when the world isn't perfect. Matt Ryan plays in a dome. There is no wind. He plays in a warm weather division. If he played in Pittsburgh, you'd see even more issues. He is largely protected. Julio Jones plays in a dome. But this is the real question. Your marriage, it's tested when the kids melt down, not when they're away at camp. And in 2020, what's your quarterback like when you're missing a left tackle, your top running back is out, your number two receiver is out, and your back is killing you because he got sacked five times the previous week? And that's, for Matt Ryan, territory he can't elevate. I'm watching the NFL right now, and there's about seven teams that I would say would not draft Trevor Lawrence. About seven. Everybody else, that kid at Clemson, I'd take him, sit him for a year in Atlanta, and move on. If you want to be special, you got to have a special quarterback. Matt Ryan is special when everything is set up to succeed. As you watch the NFL going forward, when is everything perfectly set up to succeed? The answer, almost never.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
This excuse I am tired of officially. I'm getting, you know what I mean? I don't like excuses to begin with. I tell my kids this all the time. Don't want to hear victimhood. Got a good life. Granite countertops. We're all good here. I don't want excuses. I don't want to hear Michael Thomas is not available for Drew Brees, and that's the problem. That ain't the problem. Michael Thomas is worth 1 point in Vegas. That's what he's worth. NFL scoring has never been higher. I saw a stat this morning. Last year, there were like 25 games where they scored over, you know, like combined 50 points or something. We're already at like 22. Michael Thomas is worth a point. Okay, there's four old quarterbacks in the NFL. Let's be honest. Two can play and two can't. Phillip Rivers and Brees right now, can't win big with them. Big Ben and Tom Brady, I think you can. But Brees needs to outsmart you, and he's great at it. But Sean Payton is one of the smartest offensive coaches of my lifetime in the NFL. He's on a short list. When he wants athleticism or a deep ball, he brings in Taysom Hill. And everybody's complaining last night on Twitter about Taysom Hill. Oh, the Saints offense doesn't need Taysom Hill. Hell, it doesn't. Their first six possessions last night against the Chargers, who were a beat-up mess defensively. You got no Derwin James, Brandon Ingram's out, Bosa's limited. Their defense is a wreck right now. They're all banged up. The first six possessions, Drew Brees led, punt, punt, field goal, punt, interception, punt, and the field goal was an 18-yard drive. And their only touchdown of the first half, they basically got it at midfield. You're not smarter than Sean Payton. Sean Payton's watching practice. Sean Payton's like, we got to throw it deep, we got to bring in the other guy. We need an athlete, we got to bring in the other guy. And I love Drew Brees, a first ballot Hall of Famer. But at some point, I'll be on the air, and I'll have no more teeth left, and I'll be hacking and wheezing, and you'll be like, ah, it's over for Colin. You can't win with Colin. Right now, still got a shot. Still got a shot with me. But, you know, this is not about Michael Thomas. This is a pop gun offense. I mean, the offense is Alvin Kamara, little dump pass, make it work. It's not a knock on anybody. This is an elite defensive line, a very good offensive line. Kamara's a stud. But there's four old quarterbacks in this league, and Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees, your eyes aren't, they're not fooling you. Okay, what you're seeing is Justin Herbert. You can do a lot more with Justin Herbert. You're going to watch Josh Allen tonight. You can roll the pocket. You can throw deep, intermediate. I mean, Josh Allen and Justin Herbert are the kind of guys. Justin Herbert was getting the crap knocked out of him last night. I mean, he was thrown off balance. He was throwing while getting hit. He's got two offensive linemen out. He doesn't have his best running back. Keenan Allen gets hurt. And they are a field goal away from beating Drew Brees. So I don't want to hear about Michael Thomas. Great player. He's worth a point. Okay. You got two offensive linemen out for the Chargers. We all know what quarterbacks need. Good coach, good offensive line. That's just as valuable.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So I saw some, it's unfortunate. The media has never been worse. And I'm seeing these Aaron Rodgers should be the MVP stories in the last couple of weeks. And it's like, stop. Let's stop. Let me give you some perspective on this. There's no story here. Russell Wilson is 5-0. This Seattle defense this morning is statistically the worst in league history. In league history, here's the worst four defenses. For our radio audience, Seattle's won. They're 5-0, including a win over Belichick and Cam. Atlanta's is now the second worst. They just fired their GM and their coach because of it. Drew Brees, 2012 Saints, third worst defense. They were 7-9. Remember, they had the best offense in the league. Drew Brees couldn't get a winning record with the best offense in the league when he had a bad defense, and the 81 Colts were awful. You cannot win in this league with a historically awful defense. So let's start with that. Aaron Rodgers, much better defense. Here's the other thing. I mean, Russell has scored 35 against Belichick, 31 against Brian Flores, and 27 against Mike Zimmer this weekend in a driving rainstorm. Three good defensive coaches. But ask yourself this. Offensive lines, do they matter? Do you know the number one rated offensive line in the NFL this morning, PFF? Green Bay. Green Bay also has a top five running back in the league, Aaron Jones. A top five wide receiver, maybe a top two wide receiver in Devontae Adams. Green Bay also has an offensive coach. That obviously helps. I mean, you don't think Jared Goff had a defensive coach than an offensive coach? Kind of a difference. The only advantage Russell Wilson has over Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson's number two wide receiver, Tyler Lockett, is better than Aaron Rodgers' number two wide receiver. Most valuable is the ability, this is what LeBron just did, to take a lot of disparate parts or average parts and elevate all of them. You could. Aaron Rodgers is number two in the voting, like Burger King is number two to McDonald's, but it's not close. Okay, it's not close. Aaron Rodgers could not take this offensive line and this defense and be 5-0. Aaron's in a easier division with a better defense, an offensive coach, the best offensive line in the league, a better number one receiver, and a better number one running back. It ain't close. Seattle's 5-0, worst defense in league history so far. And they haven't even faced, you know, they haven't even faced some of the more dynamic offenses they'll face. All right, Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboys this morning on Dallas Radio. And the big questions now, what are you going to do with Dak? How are you going to pay Dak? Is Dak the future of the NFL in Dallas? Jerry Jones, ever the businessman, doesn't generally like to talk publicly about money. Totally get it. If I owned a team, that's how I would act. Said this about Dak.
We've got to be reminded that to have a team, that we've got to really manage how we dole out our resources. Dak is deserving of anything you want to put on a piece of paper, relatively speaking. He's deserving of that. And if you evaluate what he can do to help us win championships, we've got to make it work. So what am I saying? I'm saying exactly the same thing that I said the last time we were asked about this before the season started. It's a part of the game, is the business and the contract part.
What's interesting about Dallas to me is the Dak injury is going to allow potentially Dallas to have excuses. Well, I mean, we lost our quarterback. We're 6-10. We're 7-9. But let me offer this. Dallas is rebuilding. They just don't know it. You watch the Giants and Dallas this weekend. We know the Giants are rebuilding. They look like the same team. One had a really good defense, one had a really good offense. One had a bad offense, one had a bad defense. I mean, hear me out here. Offensive line now is bad. Defensive line is old and not very good. Secondary, outside of Trayvon Diggs, not very talented. Linebackers, expensive, overrated, banged up. Outside of the wide receiving core, which is substantial, and the running backs. I like Pollard and Zeke. Outside of that, what do you mean rebuilding? Because most of us know Detroit is rebuilding. The Giants are rebuilding. Washington is rebuilding. I'm not denying that. But there's also these teams, and we also know Green Bay isn't rebuilding, and Baltimore's not rebuilding, and Kansas City's not rebuilding. We know that. But then there's these teams in the middle that are, and you're like, they just don't want to talk about it. Dallas is rebuilding. What does rebuilding mean? If you go into a draft, the next draft, and you've got half or more of your units need somebody, a playmaker, because you're not making enough plays, offense or defense, you are rebuilding. And again, there's 7-8 teams not rebuilding. Dallas needs two offensive linemen, minimum one, maybe two defensive linemen, another linebacker, a safety, one to two more corners. They could really use an elite tight end. Again, They don't need a running back. Zeke and Tony Pollard, nice dimensions there. Like them both, actually. I think Pollard's a little underrated. Zeke right now is still really good. Wide receivers, they're loaded. They don't need to draft a wide receiver for 2 years. They are all good at wide receiver. But that is why the CeeDee Lamb draft pick to me was so weird. Like, you just paid Amari Cooper a ton of money. You want to get him touches. Michael Gallup's becoming a star. And you had Cedric Wilson in practice, and all I know is when I watch Cedric Wilson, I'm like, that's one of the better third receivers potentially in the league. So I think the Dak injury gives Dallas opportunities to say, you know, we were going to be blank. I think Dallas is rebuilding. I think they're a rebuilding team. You go into a draft, six units need a playmaker. You are rebuilding, and I feel Dallas is.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. Go subscribe right now. You like Colin's show, you like football, you will like this podcast. We talk a ton of NFL, ton of draft, ton of college football. Coming up this week, Justin Herbert, A Star Is Born, Drew Brees, is he shot? Mike Tomlin keeps on rolling, Dak Prescott's ankle and his future with the Cowboys. We cover it all. 3 and Out Podcast. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Cleveland Browns' Kevin Stefanski is my early leader for coach of the year. They finally got a smart coach who's a grown-up, very mature. I love what he's doing. They not only lead the NFL in rushing, but they lead the NFL in 10-plus yard rushes, meaning that's a big play rush offense. They'll hit you over the top as well. Baker Mayfield worries me, but he does have multiple touchdowns in each game. I'll probably know more after this weekend against Pittsburgh. But the Browns defense scares me on the back end, but they have forced 12 turnovers this year. Number one, Baker worries me in big spots, but I got Cleveland number 10. I love their coach.
Number nine,
Pittsburgh Steelers. Listen, you can't run on them, so it's going to be will versus force this weekend. Cleveland's run game against Pittsburgh's run defense. Their upcoming schedule, Browns and Ravens, will tell me a lot about Pittsburgh. I've still got some doubts. They're only 24th in the NFL yards per play. Big Ben's not making mistakes, 70% completion rate. But the Steelers have beaten teams with a combined record of 3-15-1. They've beaten a bunch of nonsense. And so I have my real doubts this weekend. I got them at 9, one spot ahead of Cleveland. And I'm not sure if I voted on this tomorrow, I'd feel the same. I think it's a toss-up. With Cleveland, a little more explosive offensively.
Number 8.
Rams, 4-0, but it's against the NFC East. They are beating up on the Giants and the Cowboys. Number 1 in yardage differential. That's a real thing, meaning they are explosive. Their defense has the most sacks this year. That was a real point of contention in the offseason. We're not getting the quarterback. Todd Gurley's gone. They've done a nice job. They got Cam Akers, Henderson. They got nice running backs now. I think it's a real good room to be in. It's a good team going forward. I think there's some limitations if Goff senses pressure. But the reality is Goff has won 2 games for every game he's lost with Sean McVay, and I got the Rams at 8.
Number 7.
Tampa Bay have some concerns. Leonard Fournette still banged up. Chris Godwin still out. I would like to see this team when they're healthy against Chicago. They have, they've got their tight end, best tight end out for the year. Fournette's gone. Godwin, Mike Evans. Here's the good news. Love Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator. They have the number one rushing defense in the NFL. And Mike Evans, when he's healthy, he and Brady have a relationship right now. So this is a team that should get better, but I keep them at 7 because they look like garbage against the Bears. You got Brady barking at people, and frankly, their protection wasn't very good.
Number 6.
Buffalo Bills. Not much to dislike. Josh Allen, they have 30-plus points in each of their last 3 games. I have them this low because coming up, they face Tennessee, the Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Seahawks. So I feel like in the next month, I'm really going to get a sense of what they are. I have said this before. I think it's the best young coaching staff in the NFL. This is it. That and the 49ers, best young coaching staff in the NFL. They've done a miraculous job with Josh Allen. But the truth is the next 3-4 games.
Number 5.
Patriots. I would take the Patriots with Cam Newton over the Bills this morning if they played. Still the best coach team in the league. Keep your eye on Damian Harris emerging as a star at running back. The second best rushing team after Cleveland. Their defense has allowed 1 rushing touchdown. Again, with Cam, I think they're a nightmare to face. I think they match up with Kansas City very well. You know how Kansas City is sort of Baltimore's kryptonite? Belichick and this team with Cam Newton could possibly be Kansas City's kryptonite. I think they would have beaten them. They run the ball. They've got an emerging star at running back. You can't run on them, and they're the best coach team in the league.
Number four.
The Seahawks. It's mostly I'm voting Russell Wilson fourth. It is a historically pathetic defense. Now, Jamal Adams has been banged up. They do have Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams. But if you look at most games, game-winning drives in the first nine seasons of the NFL, Russell Wilson is first all time. Now, again, they got to go to Buffalo, and they got a game against the Rams on the road. So we'll get a little more clarity. But at this point, they've got playmakers. Russell's a playmaker. Jamal Adams a playmaker. DK Metcalf's a playmaker. Bobby Wagner's a playmaker. They've got flaws, but they've also, when you can get outplayed and win like they did against Minnesota, that speaks well of you. They got outplayed and won. Not a lot of teams in the NFL can say that.
Number three.
Ravens. I like them. I think we're selling too much of our stock. Highest yards per carry in the NFL. Again, that's very Cleveland. They not only run the ball, but they'll pop runs. This is an aggressive home run running game. They can pop stuff. They lead in scoring defense. I thought last week Lamar looked a little banged up, so I didn't take a ton from last week's performance. So don't sell your Raven stock. If you're selling it, I'm buying it. I got him at three.
Number two.
Kansas City is number two. Listen, the loss to the Raiders snapped a 13-game winning streak. But I will say this about this team. They can be maddeningly inconsistent, even offensively, half to half. They can have bad halves, bad series. They're just not as consistent as I'd like offensively. They don't have a ceiling. I mean, when they're on, lights out. Good night. Thanks for flying United. But they don't get to that point a lot. And I think Andy Reid's concern is, hey, we got to button up some stuff. When we're great, nobody's beating us. But we have some real holes and real droughts, and they did against the Raiders.
Number one.
Green Bay. There's some really interesting numbers here, and he faces Brady this week. But here's some numbers that you can't deny. They're averaging 6.8 yards a play. That is a Vegas number. Vegas loves that. If you're averaging almost 7 yards a play, why are they doing it? The offensive line is ranked number one in the NFL. Aaron hasn't thrown a pick. They're not getting penalized. They're not turning the ball over. I think their defense is probably a little better than we give it credit for because Aaron is so fantastic. We pay so much attention to Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay's offense that their defenses are rarely bad. I think it's a good, solid defense. Certainly, there's some bad defenses in the NFC. I think Green Bay is the best team right now. Fewest sacks allowed, no interceptions, 7 yards a play, a better defense. Their special teams are reliable. If Devontae Adams is healthy and he's got some injury history, I think it's a Super Bowl winning team.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Brian Westbrook played for a decade in the NFL, a multiple-time Pro Bowler. He, I was just talking to him during the break. He went to Wharton, Villanova and Wharton. So he's officially the smartest guy in this current conversation coming up. Brian Westbrook is now joining us live. Wharton. Who gets Wharton on their resume? God, guy, you Wharton guys, Lord.
He's just trying to make it work out here in this real world that we live in at this point. Retirement is not always the easy place to try to find a job, so trying to figure life out.
Well, congrats. It's incredible. So during the break, we were saying, and you have a business background, I believe in structures. So I tend to look at the NFL, what's your structure like and who's your quarterback? And that's how I pick my division winners. Philadelphia, I like their owner. I like their GM. I like their coach. And I like Wentz. But you know that city well. Villanova kid, you played for the Eagles. I wonder, You look this morning, some think Wentz too many injuries, lost the right coaches, he's lost his confidence. Weigh in on Philadelphia. We're really, really early, and I'm hearing some Baylors on the Eagles right now. Where do you stand on them this morning?
Well, I saw an offensive team last week that put up 29 points against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I saw a team that doesn't have DeSean Jackson, doesn't have Alshon Jeffrey, doesn't have Dallas Goedert, doesn't have their first round pick Jalen Reagor. And really the only receiver that they had was a practice squad guy that they cut a couple times, got cut by different teams, and Travis Fulgham. And they were able to put up 29 points on a very good defense of the Steelers in at Heinz Field. So I think, you know, this football team has a ways to go. They don't have a bunch of talent. They're not talented at the skill position like the Dallas Cowboys. But what I am seeing is a quarterback that struggled early on in the season with interceptions, bad reads, bad decisions, just errant throws. And over the last couple of weeks, and I'll probably say the last six quarters, I think Carson is starting to figure it out. He's using his legs a little bit more. You saw that in the 49ers game. He's able to get the ball in the right position. We saw that last week against the Steelers. I feel like he's starting to figure it out, and he struggled again. He struggled mightily at the very beginning of the season, but I think he's coming out of that just a bit. And once you get some more talent around him, once you get any of those guys that I named before back, I think it's going to give Carson an opportunity to exploit some holes and some defenses. Right now, they're just so ravaged by injury and those types of things. It's just hard to see how good of a team they really are because of the injuries.
You know, I was saying in the break, Brian, that I watched the Giants and the Cowboys play this weekend, and I saw two rebuilding teams. We just all know the Giants are rebuilding. One had a good defense, one had a great offense. And I look at Dallas, and my theory behind rebuilding is if you go into a draft and at least half the units on your team need a playmaker, then you're rebuilding. I don't care if you acknowledge it. We know teams that aren't. Baltimore's not rebuilding. We know Kansas City, Green Bay, they're not. And we know New York is. But I look at Dallas. Offensive line's old. Defensive line's old. Linebackers are, to be honest, a little overpaid and overrated at this moment. They need a safety. They need another corner. They're tight end. They're not special. Outside of receiver and back, I got questions everywhere. Is it possible? I looked at the Giants in Dallas, Brian. They look like rebuilding teams to me. Am I wrong?
Well, you have to ask yourself this. Will Jerry Jones ever allow his team to be in a total rebuild? Would he ever allow his football team to say, you know what, we're tearing everything down. We're going to be irrelevant for a couple years, and then we're going to come back stronger. I just don't see that happening. I think Jerry says we have three good wide receivers. We all know what they can do. We know what Zeke can do. We'll be serviceable at the quarterback position with Andy Dalton. Now if we can find a way to get our defense not to be terrible. And what we've seen from their defense all season long is them getting dominated at the line of scrimmage, them showing a lack of urgency, a lack of toughness. They're just being lazy so many times on the defensive side of the ball. They're getting beat down the field. I mean, they have a bunch of holes on the defensive side of the ball, and they paid a lot of guys over there a lot of money as well. And so they shouldn't be at that bad. They shouldn't be rebuilding on the defensive side of the ball. But just as you mentioned, they have a lot of holes. They have to fill those holes. So I don't necessarily think that Dallas is in a total rebuild. I just think they have to sharpen their tools on the defensive side of the ball. It starts with effort. If they can show a little bit more effort, which I think they did this last week, I think they can win some games, but they're a long way from being one of the better teams in the NFC.
Brian Westbrook, 9 years, two-time Pro Bowler. You know, I said this last night. There's four old quarterbacks in the league. Two of them don't look like they can really take me to the place I want to be, Rivers and Breeze. Two of them, Big Ben, Brady, can, but they're not as special as some of these young guys. So, you know, as you start looking around this league at quarterback, and Josh Allen is really good, really fast, and Lamar is really good, really fast, and oh my God, Joe Burrow's really good, and Justin Herbert's really good, and then you get a bunch of guys like Matt Ryan, and I'm like, Jimmy Garoppolo, so let's start with Garoppolo. This weekend, a mess. Was it injuries or just Jimmy G struggling? What did you see?
Well, I saw a quarterback that was struggling. I would initially think it was because of the injuries. He didn't seem like he can step into any throws. He didn't seem confident. I don't know how much practice time he got in the past week. He just didn't look confident in any of his throws. He didn't know how to pull the trigger and let the ball go. And then when he did step into it, a lot of his throws were sailing all over the place, and that's why he ends up getting pulled. When you're losing the amount of games that the 49ers have lost this year and you're supposed to be a good team, sometimes when you're injured, you kind of force yourself to get back in there when you're really not ready to play. And I don't think Jimmy Jimmy G was ready to play this past weekend, and that's why Kyle pulled him out of the game. He'll come back, but again, Jimmy G wasn't special last year. He had a great defense, and he had an offense that knew how to run the ball. And when you have the ability to run the ball on anybody, you can get some play-action passes going, and then the throws that you're making are to wide-open wide receivers and tight ends. And, of course, we know what George Kittle can do with yards after the catch. So when you're talking about an average quarterback to start, then you add injury to that. Without that dominant defense, you're seeing what you're seeing for the San Francisco 49ers, and it's not a very good sight.
You know, I was just thinking as you were talking, it's funny, is that Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Josh Allen, especially Herbert, is so good quickly, and Joe Burrow is so competent quickly, it makes me think if you're Miami, you put Tua in 3 weeks, and you give him 8-9 games, and he's just okay. Do you revisit quarterback in the NFL? Are you going to have Justin Fields? I mean, it's funny, Brian, but Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow are, boom, they can play, period. And I got three world-class, and the Dolphins, by the way, going to have Houston's first-round pick next year. They got two of their own picks, or they got one of their own and Houston. So they're going to have two top 10 picks, potentially. What if Tua comes out? Is it ever happened that your rivals, the culture changes? There's so many special young guys. What if Tua comes in and plays 8 games and looks meh? Do you go get another guy?
I don't want to make Joy get her too upset here. It's talking about her Dolphins, but I think the answer is no. You got to give Tua an opportunity to get used to the league, and they've struggled a little bit with Ryan Fitzpatrick, but of course, when he struggles, he comes back even stronger and throws the ball. You have to give Tua an opportunity. You picked him, you draft him way too high to be able to say, you know, he struggled at the end of the year, and now we're not going to go with him. Now we're going to move on. You've done that too many times in the past. At some point, you got to settle in and say, this is our guy, and we're going to go with him despite some early struggles. And there's not going to be a bunch of young quarterbacks that go out there and light the world up like Joe Burrow and Herbert. It doesn't happen every single year. Tua may be one of those guys. He may be one of those guys that gets better by sitting on the bench and watching and coming in his second year with all the practice reps as far as the offseason and OTAs. He's a much better quarterback. We never know. We won't really know until he gets that opportunity. But I don't give up on a quarterback after their first year. I think that would be foolish.
Yeah. Finally, Andy Dalton. Can you win a division with Andy Dalton at this point in his career?
Absolutely. You can win a division because we mentioned it earlier. You have all the weapons. The division is just bad. The NFC East is absolutely terrible. But more importantly, it's their schedule. It's the teams that they're going to play. And when you look at their schedule, you're talking about teams over 500 at this current point. They're only going to play two more of those teams. That's the Steelers and the Ravens. All the other teams that they're going to be facing, the Cowboys will be facing, are under 500. So, I mean, when you talk about what does he have to do? Well, he doesn't have to. All he has to do is not turn the ball over,
right,
hand the ball off to Zeke, make sure that the receivers touch it. And if he does that, I think that helps his defense out a little bit too. Get your running game going. Get your defense off the field. And if you can do that, that helps them win football games. And the schedule dictates that they don't have a hard road in front of them.
Yeah, no, if he's a distributor, he's the point guard that passes, not shoots. You can win a lot of games with that receiving core and Zeke. Good stuff, Brian Westbrook. Love having you on.